This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
Baby, that's right, baby. Go to RedRecover.com. Pain, whether it's shoulder, neck, back, elbows, knees, do what the pros do. Weekend warriors, people like you and me, go to RedRecover.com. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I cannot complain, baby. The good thing is that our team down here in South Florida did not make the Deshaun Watson mistake, and the Houston Texans have. Cleveland Browns have. The Houston Texans were able to unload this problem. So let me ask you, now that you hear that Houston might be back into the mix because of facilitating this entire mess, dude, where does this go? Where does this end? You know, I've been talking about an indefinite suspension for a couple of weeks now, and it looks that's what came out of the Wall Street Journal now for Deshaun Watson. And to me, that makes a lot of sense, because if you're the NFL, it's like, what rock is going to be turned over today? You know what? Let's put this dude on ice until everything is done.
Yeah. Look, I've been writing for a month and a half that I didn't think he'd play this year, and that I thought he would get suspended indefinitely because it gives the NFL maximum flexibility. If you suspend him for a given amount of time, then it becomes harder to add on to that suspension with the NFLPA. If you suspend him indefinitely, you can decide when to reinstate him. So, look,
less embarrassment, by the way, following up on yours, because if you go 10 games and problems are still not resolved,
right
now you've got another embarrassing situation.
Right now you're stuck.
Covers your ass until it ends.
Like, I think if you're the NFL, why would you risk any kind of embarrassment with this beyond what's already happened? Right. You don't know what's going to – I mean, look, right now he's still facing 4 civil suits, but it's been reported that as many as more as 6 more are coming. That doesn't mean, by the way, that more won't eventually come at some juncture. So I don't know that the end's in sight, whether it's for Deshaun Watson and his legal issues or for the NFL and Deshaun Watson. I think we are – still very much in the middle of all this. I know 20 civil suits were settled a week ago, but that doesn't mean this is over. And now the Houston Texans have been implicated in one of these civil suits. I got to tell you, that's a much bigger problem for the NFL than Deshaun Watson. Amen. You can make Deshaun Watson go away. You can't make the Houston Texans go away. So if you're the NFL right now, Deshaun Watson, as weird as this sounds, he's almost on the back burner compared to the Houston Texans themselves. Watson, I think, look, they will handle it in time. The Texans, if it's proven out civilly or criminally that they were culpable for any of this, that becomes a very, very hard situation for the NFL to deal with.
No, I'm with you 100% there. You look at the situation with Baker Mayfield. So there was a leak of a jersey for the Seahawks. Now the talk is, which is just so crazy, because the Browns desperately need him. And if you're Baker Mayfield, you don't have a better situation to play in than Cleveland, actually. If you're Baker,
right?
Baker and his agent, I go back to Cleveland. I say, hey, listen, guys, your guy's going to be suspended for the year. Okay? You need a quarterback. Better than Jacoby Brissett. Let's go with Baker, but let's agree on no trade for the rest of the year. You allow Baker to play it out. We will act professional. You will act professional. We will team up and have the best season possible, because that's what's best for all parties. Now we're hearing that, they both want to part ways. And I can understand, because on the Baker side, I don't think he can handle it professionally. I'm not sure it's in him to be able to be a pro. You know what I mean? Like Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan gave you an entire career, and Atlanta was interested in Deshaun Watson, and he was like, this is the business. Hey, yeah, no problem, guys. I'll delay my bonus for you a week. I mean, that's classy as hell, dude, after everything that you've done. But that's the business. And he handled it like a freaking pro. This guy doesn't know how to be a pro. So I ask you, since the divorce is coming and this idiot franchise is going to bury itself even more in the Browns, where does Baker Mayfield end up? Is he ending up in Carolina? Is he ending up in Seattle? Or are you giving me door number three?
No, I'm. Look, first of all, I agree with you. I wrote a column like 2 or 3 weeks ago on FanSided that said, look, I think the best scenario for all parties involved is him lining up week one for Cleveland, because they're significantly more talented than Carolina or Seattle. And
combined.
Yeah. If you're Mayfield, this entire season should be about setting yourself up to get paid after this season. So I don't understand this idea of like going to Seattle. Why? You're going to get killed behind that offensive line. That team right now, as we speak, is the fourth best team in the NFC West. And guess what? If they acquire Baker Mayfield, they're the fourth best team in the NFC West, right?
Yes.
Like, there's maybe more upside in Carolina because the division outside of Tampa is not good. And maybe you could push
Saints
your way into eight
Saints
wins.
Are still pretty decent. Saints are pretty decent still.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of the Saints. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Saints are going to be around 500, I think, one way or the other. But if you're Carolina, like, maybe you can be around 500. But, again, what does that do for you? Like, if you're Baker Mayfield, who cares? Doesn't matter. Like, in Cleveland, you could potentially win 10 games and be a playoff team.
Best running game in the NFL, dude. I mean, that's
– great running game, really good offensive line, a really good play caller in Stefanski. A defense that isn't incredible, but isn't bad. Like, it's a decent defense. So, like, for me, yeah, I agree with you. And also, if you're the Browns, do you just not want to win it all this year? Like, is that just gone by the wayside?
Right.
Because you're not winning with Jacoby Brissett. You're not. That's not going to happen. Nick Chubb is going to be seeing 12 guys in the box against Jacoby Brissett. Okay, there's no world where Brissett is out there going toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow in a game. So
believe me, we know.
I bet you
we know.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett is a good backup. That's what he is, which is fine. Yes. But that's what they signed him to be. So if I'm the Browns, I'm with you. But in the end, it sounds like both sides just want a divorce. And if that ends up coming to pass, I do think either Carolina or Seattle is real. I still think that Carolina just makes a lot more sense. Like, if Matt Rhule doesn't win this year, he's probably fired. Seattle, you're almost quietly better off winning four games with Drew Lock if you're Seattle. You're not good either way.
I forget
who reported it, but there was this idea that, well, if he goes to Seattle, he's going to get an immediate extension. Why would you extend him? Like, for what purpose? You have two first-round picks next year. Take a quarterback.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I don't understand that. So I would say Carolina, but it seems both are firmly in the mix.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And I agree with you. I think it's going to be Carolina is where he ends up, because I don't think Carroll is as desperate to get because he's been there to the pinnacle and done it. And he knows when he looks at Baker that, okay, I could get by with the guy, but he's not the answer. So he's going to rather, like you said, suck, win 3-4 games, load up with draft picks and turn that team around. You know what I mean? Matt Rhule on the other end, that dude has got a win already at this point. I mean, he's as bitter as it gets the way he is right now. I mean, their biggest problem was that they so far can't find a quarterback during his tenure, because you'll never find out about your team unless you can find a damn quarterback. You know what I mean? And what are you going to do? Go back to Cam Newton again? I mean, come on.
No, they have nobody. And I've already seen people say, well, you know, maybe they think internally Sam Darnold. Look, I've seen Sam Darnold.
Oh, give me a
break. They think that Sam Darnold internally is winning them games, they should just fire themselves now. Right. They're not winning games. Okay? Right. Like, I think at some point you have to be realistic. Say whatever you want about Baker. I'm not a huge Baker Mayfield guy, but is he a top 20 quarterback in the NFL when he's healthy? Yeah, he probably is. That's a lot more than you can say about Sam Darnold. So,
yes.
I mean, I think if nothing else, like Baker's won games. He's won a playoff game. Like, is he a franchise guy? Probably not. Is he decent? Yeah, he's decent. Like, yeah. You can win a game with Baker Mayfield. Like, you can win a football game.
That's what I'm saying. Carroll's looking at him going, yeah, I can get by with the guy, but I need more than that.
To me, the problem with Seattle is you just traded away Russell Wilson. You cut Bobby Wagner. You are rebuilding your franchise. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And if you're going to do that, doing it as a half measure is insanity. You just do it. Like, with Baker, maybe they win 7 games. You don't want to win 7 games. You want to either win 13 games or 4. Like, you don't want to be one of these teams that's constantly in the middle. That does look, I always, the team, for whatever reason, always comes to mind with stuff like that, is for me, is Minnesota. Minnesota is forever this team that wins 8 games. It does you no good. Like, you either get younger and cheaper and full of picks and assets and reload.
You do what Miami finally, by the way, Miami was that team with Rick Spielman,
forever.
With Jeff Ireland, with Dave Wannstedt, with Sperano, with Gase, with they were the 8-9-10 win team. They were stuck in that whole thing. And then Chris Greer finally took over and he gutted the entire thing. And has loaded it with picks, and they've got 2 more first rounders again next year. And that's what you're supposed to do to try to reload. And now you look at that roster, and that roster's loaded with a whole bunch of young guys. And now this year they went and got their wave of free agency, which now should hopefully catapult them into the playoffs. We'll see. But that's what you're supposed to do. If you know you suck, or you already had your time and you're going to tear it down, bro, all the way down. That's what you got to do. It's the best way.
I think a lot of times these owners get worried that, well, if we tear it down, the fans won't come. They won't support the team. Look, like, most fans are smart enough. They'd rather go through a couple years worth of a rebuild than sit through 15 years of you winning 9 games. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody's there for that. I always think too, like, look, I am, just in my personal life, I'm a New York Knicks fan, okay? I've watched that team for 2 decades sit there and just refuse to tear it down. They always bring in these aging stars. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. And I think in the NFL, especially in the NFL, because of how quickly you can turn things around, just tear it down. People understand that. People are willing to deal with that. Yes. Now, the key to that is to not become what, you know, the Lions have been for 30 years, and it's just tear down after tear down. I mean, at some point you have to get it right. But if you tear it down and you get it right, it's 2 or 3 years of a little bit of pain, but then it's 10 to 15 years of you being a contender. Who's complaining about that? That's the point. So, yes, I think that Seattle, let it happen this year, and then go get yourself a quarterback.
By the way, 4 years, $110 million.
That's exactly my point. Also, they can be the 8 seed.
I didn't know you were a Knicks fan, but I read that this morning. Like, they've cleared up all this space to give Jalen. And I like Jalen Brunson, by the way.
He's fine.
It's Moxie. I think he's a tough as nails kid for his size and all that. He's an overachiever.
You respect
the hell out of him. But 4-year, $110 million for the kid?
Right.
You're going to make him like the centerpiece of your franchise practically?
Yeah.
And by the way, your Knicks did kind of tear it down here recently, finally.
Yes.
They did. You know?
For one shining moment. And then they had a year where they were the 4 seed. And then all of a sudden we're like, that's it. We're a contender now. And went and got Evan Fournier for $80 million. Look, I like Jalen Brunson too. But I know the Knicks. No, I know this is how it's going to play out. He's going to go there. He's going to underachieve according to these grand expectations of him. And the Knicks will be trying to trade him next year. Okay. Right. Just like they're doing with Evan Fournier right now. So, the overarching point, like, these teams that do this, like, you're stuck on this treadmill to oblivion. You're not going anywhere.
Julius Randle, by the way, Julius Randle.
Like, what are you winning? You're the worst team in your own division. You're useless if you're the Knicks. And I think, and you're right. Like, the Dolphins were the poster child for this.
Oh, yeah. 25 years.
Bro. It was always 25 years. We'll bring in Jay Cutler. Like, who cares? You're not gonna win. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You're irrelevant.
Right. Right. That's what we've been for a long time. You know, it's fun to see what's happened to our Dolphins and to the Redskins. Because yeah, when I grew up, those two were royalty, bro.
Yeah.
Royalty.
Oh, I mean, Washington under Gibbs.
And you lose Gibbs and you lose Shula. And, bro, you lost it all.
Yeah.
You know?
It's ownership. A lot of it's just ownership. Daniel Snyder's a train wreck.
It's all ownership.
Right?
I mean,
it all runs downhill. It always runs. If you have, we were just talking about the Knicks. The Knicks are the epitome.
Right, right. It's owner.
But like
it's owner.
Washington, yeah. Top 10, right? Like Miami for years, their ownership. Like it's been, look, you know, I even think to some degree, let's face it, Jerry Jones can sit there and say, well, I've won 3 Super Bowls. Okay. Jimmy Johnson basically handed you 3 Super Bowls. All right. And I know Switzer was there for the last one. I mean, you or I can coach that team won a Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, I mean, the second Jimmy Johnson's influence left that building, they haven't been back to an NFC championship game. This is the Cowboys, who can bring in anybody they want. They've got more money than God. And for those
By the way, your Knicks, the same thing.
Of course.
After Pat Riley's influence left.
Yeah, garbage.
After Van Gundy was done and all that. Because that's the leftovers of Riley.
Yep.
After that, the Knicks never recovered from that.
That was it. Because those guys are so great.
It's the Shula thing. It's the Joe Gibbs thing. Yep. It's the, I mean, we could just go Jimmy Johnson thing.
Right.
It happens all over the place, dude. Yes. You know what I mean?
Those guys are so great at what they do. You know, the Rileys, the guys like that, the Gibbses, the Shulas. Yes. You can cover up for all the nonsense above you because those guys are Hall of Famers and they're so brilliant. But then the second that influence leaves the building, you're screwed because now you're left with the remnants of an owner who has no idea what he's doing. And let's face it.
And if you don't have the Rooneys, you don't recover from Chuck Knoll.
Of course.
But because you have the Rooneys, you find Mr. Spitt. And then you find Mr. Tomlin. So, you know, it's like, you know, you get coward to Tomlin. I mean, Jesus Christ. And why? Freaking Rooneys, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's an organization that is probably the most stable organization in North American sports. Like, I look at them this year, and I honestly say offensively, I have no faith in them being good. But I also look at them and say, while I don't think they're very good this season, I kind of think they're in transition. And I'd probably pick them to win 7 games. Would I totally rule out that team finding a way to win 9 games and being a wild card team? No, because they are who they are. And, you know, it's kind of, to be fair to them, it's kind of like the Ravens have been for years in the sense that the Ravens know exactly who they are. When you watch the NFL draft, you almost know who they're going to pick before they pick them because you're like, that guy is exactly what the Baltimore Ravens are. Tough, physical, down in the dirt. Like, you know exactly who they are. There are so many franchises that their identity changes every hour. They're this, they're that, they're this. Baltimore, Pitt, you know exactly what they are. And it hasn't worked out in terms of winning a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, but they've won 2 Super Bowls in the last couple of decades.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh.
And they still win more than they lose, and they still go to the playoffs.
Yeah. They win a ton of games. You look at Harbaugh. Harbaugh is, to me, the most underrated coach in the league. He's good for 11 to 12 wins every year. Yeah. Every year.
Yeah. And last year, the injuries were monstrous.
Yes. And they still almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're just, you know,
they're winning games. I forgot the kid's name. They were winning games with a backup quarterback, bro.
Tyler Huntley.
Huntley. Yeah. That kid. And he actually at times looked serviceable.
Right.
Like you were like, all right. They actually even made him somewhat serviceable too. And it's like, holy shit. You know, that's also a franchise, like you just said, understands their identity so they know who they are.
Right.
And then they understand who whatever player they have, who he is, and they make that player play to their comfort zone, not out of their comfort zone. And that's what Gibbs did, and that's what Riley does, and that's what all these great coaches do. They understand what they have, and then they know how to maximize it.
Yeah.
It's not putting Jalen Brunson and saying, you're our franchise player. No, dude, that's not what he is.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And so he's a terrific little player. Now you're going to mess with him because you're going to put him out of position.
Yeah. And yeah, I think, you know, a perfect example in the NFL of what we're talking about in the opposite end is Jacksonville, where every 4 years, it's like a completely different thing. They were this defensive running the ball team with Doug Marrone. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we're going to throw the ball over the place. And we're going to, you know, we had Urban Meyer sprinkled in there for a year, whatever the hell that was. Okay. And you have all these, it's like, just be like, you have to be consistent, be who you are. You know, like I think, you know, we talked a lot about different franchises. Bill Parcells is a perfect example of that. Everywhere he went, they were the same team. Like, that team, they're going to play defense. They're going to be physical. They're going to be disciplined. Like, you knew what you were getting. And I think a lot of times these teams, you know, you see it come out of, I mean, New England's the poster child for this, right? I mean, New England, Belichick, you know exactly what that team's going to be. And they're another team. We talked about them last time I was on. I don't think the Patriots are anywhere near as talented as Miami. Like, Miami should be a better team. And maybe and could very well be. But one thing about New England, they're not going to beat themselves. Like, that team is going to execute whatever it's supposed to execute. It is not going to take penalties. It is not going to make dumb mistakes. And so much of sports, even at the professional level, really is don't beat yourself. Don't throw a bad pick. Don't fumble the ball. Don't take a bad holding penalty that brings back a 40-yard play. I mean, so often, if you just don't beat yourself, you're at least going to be decent. And I, you know, New England, I don't think has the talent to be a contender, but I do think we'll win games this year based off literally the fact that they don't turn it over and they take 3-4 penalties in a game.
Yeah, dude, when you can change your game plan, say, all right, you're only going to pass the ball twice today. We're going to run and play defense, and we're going to go win the game. It's just that's just crazy stuff. By the way, Red Recover promotes faster muscle recovery following your workout. It even expedites healing time from sprains and strains. That's why pros, amateurs, and recreational athletes use Red Recover, like first-round pick Hayden Hurst of the Bengals. Go to redrecover.com. Use our code BIGO to get 10% discount on the sale of redrecover.com products. All right, so what are you working on over at FanSided and about Stacking the Box, the podcast? Tell them.
Yeah, got the podcast every Tuesday. It goes up at noon Eastern, 11 Central. It's on YouTube. It's on iTunes. You can watch it live on YouTube. If you'd like to listen to it, you can get it anywhere you listen to your podcasts. You can check out the column Stacking the Box on Monday morning at fansided.com. Very easy to find. Just right there on the front page. As far as things I'm working on, it's a time of the year where it's a lot of features. It's just kind of working on some bigger stuff. I'll have a few things here coming over the next few weeks that I can tease, but for now, I'm just kind of head down and grinding. So check out Stacking the Box in the meantime.
And follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam. Matt, as always, appreciate you, my brother. We'll catch up next week.
And thanks a lot. Take care.
You got it. There you go. Matt Verderam, we are stepping out of the huddle.